To remind you that 60% of sales on Amazon come from independent sellers, here's John from Devil Dog Pet Company.
We run our family business from Sterling Heights, Michigan, but we can reach customers all over the country thanks to Amazon. Good boy.
Shop small business on Amazon.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
You've built a killer sports podcast. You bring the heat every week, and you have a loyal audience. But when it comes to monetizing, you're still leaving too much on the table. That's where the Odyssey Creator Lab comes in. We host your show for free. No fees, no catch. You focus on delivering the play-by-play and hot takes, and our experienced sales team goes to work bringing in ad dollars. Let's turn those downloads into revenue. Apply now at creators.odyssey.com and start making money from your podcast.
Dirt and Sprague continues.
So your wife tells you something. I need to know, where are we going with this?
Andy Dirt Johnson.
She said, you know what I think we should contemplate buying? She wants to put our kid on a leash.
Brandon Sprague.
It's like seeing randomly a tiger in a zoo. You just feel awful for it.
More Dirt and Sprague.
Look, she's an unbelievable mom. She carries all the weight in our family. I have to preface all this because she says I only throw her under the bus on the air.
So you just threw her under the bus.
On the Fan Sports Network.
Hey, welcome back in. Hour number three, Dirt and Sprague here, Portland Sports Leader, 105.1 FM, The Fan, 1080 AM, the Odyssey app, live on YouTube, call it the Fan Sports Network. Happy hump day, everybody. We're getting our humps on. In this hour, we will hump with Andrew Nimmick in 15 minutes. It is National Signing Day. You guys just signed Kenny Wheaton's son.
Wheaton's going to score.
He's going to be a beef.
Yeah, he is.
He makes a big play in the Civil War. Conflicting right there. The legacy kids going somewhere else is always weird.
Do you think the players care?
The dads wouldn't care. I think you're just happy for your kid.
Because the Molden kid, he went to Washington.
He did. Yeah. He's had a great NFL career.
And pretty kid's a Wolverine, for crying out loud.
I mean, is he, though?
Is he still? He
technically is, but
I saw him there in a huddle watching.
How's this other kid doing on three with his hot takes and his interviews? Is it Mark Herbstreit?
This might get me blocked today. I'm going to take a steaming dump on Kirk Herbstreit today. If you stick around long enough, you'll hear it.
Hey,
he did something yesterday.
Join the block party. I got blocked years ago for defending your guy.
He is the epitome of the meme of the guy holding the gun that shot somebody and then turning around to the crowd being like, we're all trying to figure out who did this. Kirk Herbstreit had something yesterday that was one of the most embarrassing things I've ever seen. And that's saying a lot from Kirk Herbstreit because he does a lot of dumb stuff.
More embarrassing than suggesting that Lane Kiffin should be allowed to coach?
And I think so, because it sounded the alarm of something and it actually got me to click it, and I'm like, oh my god, is this okay? I'm an idiot. I'll explain. We'll get to that in a little bit.
Do you have the audio of it?
There's no audio. It's a tweet, but we'll go through it. Don't you worry. We'll go through it.
Oh,
so Nimmick in a couple moments. We'll talk some National Signing Day with him. Are you ready to meet? And now, at head coach.
These are really my goals as a football program. We will win the Pac-12 championship.
Yeah, we will.
And a bowl game with class, integrity, and academic excellence.
Yeah, we will.
That is what we will do here.
Look, straight A's.
The easiest call of all time was that this guy was going to win the press conference because you see the videos of him, you see him talking and interacting with his players, you read the backstories on him and the kind of coach he is, you're like, this guy's going to knock it out of the park. You know that he is going to get everybody fired up.
His middle school teacher wrote a letter yesterday that Barnes read.
Seriously? I didn't see that part of it.
Yeah.
She sent a letter to Barnes to read.
Like, this kid I knew from the start. Dear Beaver fans, this kid's a worker. He's a grinder.
Look, the most important thing, and we'll get to Nimmick again in 10 minutes about it, is what he's already doing and showing what he cares about that maybe the previous staff never cared about. So that's a bigger deal.
Let's be fair to the previous staff. I would say it all starts and stops with the head guy.
Yes.
I think the previous staff was well aware of how you were supposed to recruit, and I think there was like head guy jumping in saying, actually, no, I'm not going to let you do that. And he's like, hey, man, just got back from my boss. He said, sorry.
It's our bad.
Take this deal or don't get a deal at all.
You go to West Virginia because we won't let you take a visit. This is really stupid. What year is it? 1987. I thought this was really cool. A lot of what he said, look, it was an hour-long press conference, so it's hard to splice through all of it and get some stuff. But I know one of the things, and this used to be a problem at Oregon when Chip Kelly was there. When Chip Kelly was at Oregon, he essentially put up barricades to any former player ever being around. And I'm not saying Trent Bray did this, but I know it ruffled a lot of feathers behind the scenes of, like, we built this place, and you're not letting us have access and come hang around. It's one of the best things that Dan Lanning does now, is he allows every, like, dude, Jonathan Stewart and Kenyon Barner just show up and watch practice, like, every day. They're just hanging out on the side.
They're in team meetings.
Like, they could do whatever they want. They're around the program, yeah. And that's great, because the players get to talk to former players about what it's like and all that. And, again, not that Trent Bray wasn't doing that, but I know there's been a lot of former players who have been vocal about the direction of the program and the lack of interest and what they have to say and the involvement and all that. I thought this was really cool from Shepard yesterday.
Let me tell you right now, all the alumni, get your butt back here. All right? I want you back here. I want you on the sidelines, okay? I want you engaging with our players. I want you sitting in meetings, okay? I want you sitting in my office talking to me about your experience here at Oregon State and how we can mirror that, all right, or how we can enhance that experience for our current student athletes. We want this to be the greatest experience in their lives as student athletes here at Oregon State.
I was reaching out to former players. I got to be honest, I didn't watch the entire thing because it was an hour. And after about 35 minutes, I had already run through enough brick walls. I didn't need any more brick walls to run through.
Mm.
What were our takeaways of Jamarcus Shepherd getting introduced in Corvallis yesterday?
Pretty good. You know, one I was interested in, and there's a couple, like he talked about the D coordinator hire. That answer is like 3 minutes, so I'm not going to play that cut. He says he has a candidate that he wants to reach out to, and I think that's going to be the person he ends up hiring. Also, he had a really good... Angie asked him... So Angie asked, like, the last question, and there's probably been 8 to 10 questions asked at this point, and she basically didn't know what to ask because every question she wanted to ask got asked.
Before she got the mic, yeah.
So she just goes, like, who... Like, you talked about this person and that person. Like, who else do you draw inspiration from? And it was probably the best answer because he just looked at her.
Yeah, it's almost 3 minutes.
And he starts, like, kind of screaming at her, but, like, in a...
That's at the very end.
Yeah, but, like, in a passionate way of just, like, and I'm motivated! You don't think I'm motivated? I'm a grinder! And I'm like, oh, my God. Angie's probably just like, oh, my God, oh, my God, oh, my God. I had reached out to her. I'm like, he asked a great question because he gave you a great answer.
That was great.
This is the one I was one of the more curious ones of. I'm just glad we've gotten to collectively a point where a coach is being hired in Corvallis and we don't have to do the, coming up next, should Oregon State run the triple option to be the different team? Like, no, you could be a normal football team and do normal things. Like,
should hire the Navy coach. What's the hell the matter with you? He almost made the playoff this year, man.
That was a real thing we would debate. Yeah. It was just like, should they run a different offense that no longer exists? Should the wishbone come back? Pettibone 2.0. And it's like, no, be a football team, you know? Be normal. I was curious about the offensive philosophy because he's coming from Kalen DeBoer and Bama.
Yes, he is.
And so instantly in my brain... Am I, like, seeing another Michael Penix and Roma Dunze? Hell yeah, I am, right? I'm in a downtime. They've won 2 games. I thought this was an interesting answer. His offensive philosophy, he didn't go quite the direction I expected him to go, but still an interesting answer.
There's going to be 3 key cogs, you know, ball dominance, details, and explosive, okay? We want to dominate the football. That's, one, taking care of the football, but being aggressive in how we attack the football. You probably heard quotes or heard messages about me saying takers for our receivers, okay? All right, well, I want that to be our motto across our entire offense. But then the details, not getting 15-yard penalties, making sure that we're assignment sound, but then also being explosive. Explosive is really about analytics. When you have explosive plays in a game, it gives you a better chance to score points in the game. Based on the analytics, it's approximately 1.3 points per drive if you don't have an explosive play in that drive. If you have 10 drives, that only will equal to 13 points. But if you have one explosive play, those drives end up yielding about 4.2 points. So if you can have one explosive play each drive, now that should yield 42 points. So we'll be basing a lot of analytics on offense to make sure that we're doing the right thing for our football team.
So he didn't say what I thought he'd say there, but I want to add, when he was saying that part, Barnes was looking at him, and it looked like Barnes was trying to calculate if he was correct. He was like, he's like, wait, you're getting really analytical.
Oh, I'm going to see these numbers again.
He added what I should have thrown in there, and that's my bad here. So he went on to continue to talk about his philosophy. He goes, you know, I know you guys know I'm from Alabama and Kalen DeBoer's staff. You might also want to know that I'm from the Willie Taggart tree, who's from the Jim Harbaugh tree. We will run the football. And I'm like, oh, okay. So like, I went from like seeing DeBoer and everything I've seen with DeBoer to
having balance, man.
Yeah, bringing balance back. And look, you want to talk about having alums back into the fold? At one point, Oregon State was like a little mini running back U. They had a nice run of running backs there.
Yes, they did.
And it, you know, it's coming and going, but like it's been some down years. But for the most part, there's some really solid running back history at that program. Like getting those guys back into the fold, and they're already zeroing in on offensive linemen is a huge area of concern for recruiting and bringing that in. So I'm seeing Kalen DeBoer's offense, and I know DeBoer's had some running seasons. This has not been one of them with Jim Miller and company.
No, they can't run the ball.
But when he brings up Jim Harbaugh, it elicits a response of like, okay, well, get the big uglies, go find that running back, find a couple running backs, and get back to doing some of what Oregon State was great at one point, which was running the football at 4 yards a clip.
I'll just say this. I listened to the majority of it again, and then it was like, all right, I don't need 20 more minutes of this. I loved a lot of the stuff that I heard. He seems like a guy that's going to resonate and connect with players very easily. I totally get why players and people around him love him and adore him. I think he's going to be dynamic on the recruiting trail. He had a great answer about being broken and broke and having to work his way and grind his way to the answer that he yelled at Angie at the end of it, of how hard he's had to work to get to this point, and that's the relentless attitude that he's going to take. We've always said this about Lanning, like you have to be a little bit of a psycho to be elite at this job.
Yeah.
Now, Oregon State and Oregon are in different camps now. I totally get that.
Yep.
But in order to get Oregon State where you want them to go into being a good program at their level, you need somebody that's psychotic, that's 24/7, that doesn't stop, that's always recruiting, that's always evaluating, that's always improving. He seems like the kind of guy that's going to do that. I'm rooting for this to work out for a couple reasons. One, I want Oregon State to be better, so it's better for our audience and for our show that they don't become a forgotten talking point in the back half of years where nobody's watching games or cares about what's happening.
Yes.
And then ultimately, just from a radio host perspective, I can't even begin to tell you how much of a breath of fresh air this guy is. Because the last two, Jonathan Smith won a lot in Corvallis. There was nothing more boring than listening to a 10-minute press conference with Jonathan Smith. We didn't really want to interview him that much because he didn't get anything out of it. And it was just everybody would fall asleep. And if you thought Jonathan Smith was bad, Trent Bray was about 10 times as bad as Jonathan Smith was. And we had him on the show one time where we're like, we're not going to interview
him. We literally cut the interview. Like, it was like a four-minute interview.
You're giving us five-word answers. Yeah. There's nothing entertaining here. You sound like you don't want to do this and have any sort of publicity for your program, which, hey, to each their own, but it clearly didn't work out for you the way you wanted to do things. I'm going to listen to this guy's press conferences every week. I hope we get to interview him. We've already reached out, try and get him on the show. Just from that angle, he's going to be entertaining. I hope it works. And he was introduced in Corvallis yesterday. Worth your time. If you got some time and you're a Beaver fan, go sit down and watch it because he'll get you going a little bit.
Orem, final point, and then we'll go to Nimick. Orem asked, I thought, a great question, too, of what questions did you have for the administration?
Yeah.
That's a question I would have wanted to ask, too, of just like
salary pools, general manager, all that stuff. That's a big part of whether or not he will succeed.
And he's aligned right now, and that's good. Like, the last thing I want is for it to not be aligned. It's hard for it to work if they're not aligned, but that was I think that's a very fair question, and something to continue to monitor is how aligned they are and how much support is he getting from the administration, because that's as far as he's going to be able to go.
Without a doubt. Let's talk about what maybe he can do on the recruiting trail. Andrew Nimick, it is National Signing Day, and Nimick, our recruiting insider, is going to join us to talk about Ducks and where they're at and putting their class together. What has Oregon State already done in day two under Jamarcus Shepherd? The rest of the signing day tidbits. Andrew Nimick next on 105.1 FM The Fan.
To remind you that 60% of sales on Amazon come from independent sellers, here's John from Devil Dog Pet Company.
We run our family business from Sterling Heights, Michigan, but we can reach customers all over the country thanks to Amazon. Good boy.
Shop small business on Amazon.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
Come to DSW for the shoes, stay for the fun. Because, let's be honest, if shoe shopping isn't fun, are you even doing it right? So go ahead, try something new. Try something different. Good different. Try something that feels like you. You know, the real you. And then definitely brag about it later. Because at DSW, you've got unlimited freedom to play. Find the shoes that get you at prices that get your budget at DSW stores or at DSW.com. Let us surprise you.
You've built a killer sports podcast. You bring the heat every week, and you have a loyal audience. But when it comes to monetizing, you're still leaving too much on the table. That's where the Odyssey Creator Lab comes in. We host your show for free. No fees, no catch. You focus on delivering the play-by-play and hot takes, and our experienced sales team goes to work bringing in ad dollars. Let's turn those downloads into revenue. Apply now at creators.odyssey.com and start making money from your podcast.
Hey there, we're Corinne Vienne and Sabrina Deanna Roga here to introduce our newest podcast, Crimes Of, a Crime House original.
Crimes Of is a weekly series that explores a new theme each season, from crimes of the paranormal, unsolved murders, and more. Our first season is Crimes Of Infamy, the true crime stories behind Hollywood's most iconic horror villains.
Listen to and follow Crimes Of, available now wherever you get your podcasts.
In this wide world of sports, some stories can slip through the cracks.
Now, before we do this, let's go over the ground rules.
Pelican Brewing presents The Daily Ticker, where Dirt and Sprague hit the big stories you've heard about and some you haven't.
How'd you do that? I'm not even mad. It's amazing.
The Daily Ticker with Dirt and Sprague is poured by Pelican Brewing's Bad Santa, the Cascadian Dark Ale that brings holiday cheer to your glass. Get on the naughty list with Bad Santa.
Ho, ho, ho.
You better watch out because Bad Santa's coming to town. Today's Daily Ticker brought to you by Pelican Brewing, celebrating the season with Bad Santa Cascadian Dark Ale. It is my favorite Pelican brew, and I got a couple in my fridge right now. Let's talk some croutons. It is National Signing Day, Christmas for a lot of these programs, trying to bring in some big-time recruits, and a lot happening here on the West Coast and in our bubble and around the country. Joining us now is our recruiting insider here at The Fan, Andrew Nimick. Give him a follow on Twitter, at Andrew Nimick. Check out the West Coast Bias podcast that he does with Sook, and you can hear him every Duck pregame joining the show and talking some croutons. Nimick, good morning to you. I obviously don't follow this as closely as you do, but I'm seeing the tweets and the headlines roll in. Seems like no big surprises so far. It is early. What do we make on this early window of National Signing Day?
Yeah, I think if you're Oregon especially, you want it to be business as usual after potentially, I don't know if the Lapoy deal is officially done, but by all accounts, it looks like they're going to lose both coordinators. So you just want to get this class across the finish line. It's the number two class in America. That is, frankly, a little misleading. It's the number two class in America with just 21 commitments. USC has the number one class in America by just a few points, and they have 35. I have very little doubt that given the two aims of the program, both of them feel they signed the number one class in America. USC wants to get depth. They want to get younger with some high school talent. And frankly, they want to run off the bottom third of their roster because it's not very good, whereas Oregon's already kind of done that rehab work on the depth of their roster. So I imagine they'll have a bunch of guys hit the portal. They wanted a huge class. They get 35. It's number one. Oregon's more selective. They get 21. It's the higher rated class in terms of rating per commit. And they leave wiggle room for where they've been aces the last few years, the transfer portal. So Oregon is two, USC's one, Alabama three, Notre Dame four, Georgia five, Ohio State six, and so on. It's the usual suspects, despite the fact that the five-star talent is more spread out than it's been in a long time.
Hmm. You love to be a draft nerd. You obviously follow the recruiting world, so you clearly have something for trying to evaluate and identify talent. And sometimes you'll give opinions, especially when it's the NFL draft, of just guys you really like versus guys maybe you're not as in on. What do you make so far of Oregon's class, and who is the guy in the class for you that stands out the most?
Well, last year was De'Aaron Hill and Brandon Finney, so mm-hmm. I'll go two for two.
There you
I'll
go.
Call it two for two last year. You know what? I'm not as high on Emmanuel Ahanacho, and we've seen some pushback on his ranking in recent months. He was rated as high as the number four recruit in the nation. I have him in the mid-40s or 50s. I think he's a right tackle. I think he needs a lot of work. I showed his film to Suk. Suk said the same thing. Big body, 6'7", 340 pounds, but pretty sloppy, to be honest, in terms of his tape. I think he's got a high ceiling, but there's a floor there that I'm a little bit concerned about. And I've also been super high, and now everybody has joined the party. But when Oregon got the commitment of Jalen Lott out of Panther Creek in Texas, I stuck my flag on that and said, that's a superstar. I think he's a future five-star prospect. I don't get why he was flirting with being outside the top 100. Sure enough, he's now a five-star recruit. I think Jalen Lott is going to be absolutely sensational. Those are the two I have the strongest opinion on. I think in this class, I'm also intrigued by Jet Washington. Anytime you tell me you have the genetics of Kobe Bryant's nephew and you're a 6'5", 200-pound safety who won State Player of the Year from the safety position in the state of Nevada, I'm intrigued by that as well.
Yeah, I'll take those jeans. That sounds pretty good to me. I didn't quite have the 6'5", 200-pound safety jeans, just a little bit short of that. But you know what? We dare to dream for Teddy Ballgame.
Imagine if you would have had that.
Dude, would have been D1, first-round pick. Nimmick would have been breaking down my tape, baby, talking about my NFL draft prospects. Andrew Nimmick is our guest, at Andrew Nimmick on Twitter. Go give him a follow. West Coast Bias Podcast, he does that with Suk as well. Last one on Oregon, I'll ask you, Nimmick. I know you just put a tweet out about this a little bit ago, but Chris Henry Jr. was a big flip target, potentially from Ohio State. Sounds like he's now signed with Ohio State, so that one's off the table. We'll go the positive and negative. Any of the big-time guys that haven't signed yet, because not all of them have, that's just maybe a timing thing. Anybody worried about flip watch? And then is Oregon trying to flip anybody else at this point?
Sure. I mean, I think Oregon's always open to some opportunities, and you're going to see some guys that they were in on early in the process. And just reaching out and making sure, with both coordinators leaving, though, I do think that job becomes harder. They have added a couple of DBs, including one of the top JUCO players in America. They don't have the letters of intent in at least the last update I've seen right before I got on the phone with you guys, and this stuff changes by the second, yeah. Including the fact that Chris Henry signed about 5 minutes ago. So that's not news to me because I saw it while I was waiting for you guys, but I did tweet out that they were waiting on that about 10 minutes ago. It's not true anymore. Anthony Tank Jones, Jet Washington, Jalen Lott, Kendre Harrison, all five-star recruits, according to various recruiting services. None of them have signed yet. I'm not panicked about anything, to be honest. Hmm. It's a really good class. Dan Lanning pivots really well. Anthony Tank Jones has been the guy who's looked around the most. For as much as we've talked about Emmanuel Ahanacho being a guy who took other visits, I always felt he was really firm with Oregon. Anthony Tank Jones has flirted with a number of other places throughout. So that would be one that I just would be waiting to see the letter of intent come in. Beyond that, it's really not a super stressful time, which again speaks to Oregon's recruiting ability. Devin Jackson was a guy, four-star safety, that people were a little worried about. He tweeted, I think it was last night, he posted on social media, him in an Oregon hat, said ready to sign. So his isn't in yet, and there was some speculation, but he doubled down last night. These things change in a hurry, but I have a feeling he's going to sign. He said so.
Yeah. I saw you mention somebody that Shepherd had gotten, a South Alabama kid, and I'm kind of curious to ask you this. There's always expectation stuff with coaches, right? Like, whoever Penn State ends up hiring, it's going to be about, is that guy going to live up to the expectations, right? Is Will Stein going to live up to the expectations, though, in those cases are like wins and losses. Yeah. What is a realistic expectation for Jamarcus Shepherd and this staff that he's building when it comes to recruiting? What should Oregon State maybe look to expect with this kind of staff that clearly understands the importance of recruiting in a way maybe the previous head coach and staff didn't?
I think improved recruiting in the state of Oregon, and I know people like to look back because I've said they don't have an in-state scholarship commitment this year, and that should never happen. And somebody pointed out, happened two other times. I know the most recent time, which is within the last 15 years, is when Jonathan Smith left. They had commitments and they decommitted. As it stood, had Trent Brace stayed the hire, they have not lost any commitments from the state of Oregon since Trent Bray was fired. So they were trending to not have any, whether they retained Bray or not. That was not the case when Smith moved from Michigan State. At that point, they had guys in the fold. They had verbal commitments they expected to sign. And those things changed because he left. I think that's a really important thing to note, that you have to go back like 13 years to the last recruiting class that Oregon State struck out with in-state commitments and didn't lose them because of a coaching change at the last minute. They're going to fix that. And then I think they're going to do better at the premium positions. I just see a staff that knows how to evaluate. You look at this Caleb Metzger guy, and two things stand out. He reminds me of really two recruiting situations that I remember, one being Jordan James and the other one being Damian Martinez, two running backs. He's obviously an edge rusher. And the reason I say that is Dan Lanning was a co-coordinator linebacker coach coming from Georgia. Shepard's a wide receiver coach, co-offensive coordinator coming from Alabama. The one guy they brought with in each case was that, you know, in this case, it's Caleb Metzner, who, while he was committed to South Alabama, had a late push from Alabama and was a big-time riser. The guy he brings with is Metzner. For Dan Lanning, the one guy he brought with him from Georgia was Jordan James. So it wasn't this huge flip, but it was an eval of a guy he really liked who he thought could have an impact in his new program. The reason I compare him to Damian Martinez is Damian Martinez was committed to Oregon State. And when he committed, I said, this is a much bigger deal than it looks like. He's only a 3-star, but there was a lot of late energy in his recruitment, including USC calling him the night before, begging him not to sign with Oregon State because they thought they'd have a guy hit the portal and his scholarship would open up. That's very similar to Metzner in the sense that this is a kid that I think had he not signed, had he waited, could have potentially popped and been a big-time top 15 program in the nation late signing edition. But because he flips now, Oregon State gets a huge prize, 24.5 sacks as a senior. It's a good eval. It's the best edge-rushing prospect I've seen on tape that Oregon State's gotten in the last 5 years.
It's got to be encouraging for Beaver fans to hear all that news. Last one for you, Nimick. We got a lot of guys. Some of them should be going to Oregon State, but again, that's a different point, and maybe the new staff will correct that. Where are the local? I've seen some Lake Ridge kids signing places. We got an LO running back going. Where's everybody locally signing right now?
Yeah, it's a really interesting class in that they're going all over. Tony Cumberland was originally from Arizona. He's the top prospect in the state. He was at Willamette. Really, honestly, struggled is a junior and it didn't make much of an impact. He dedicated himself to the weight room. His body really changed and he led the state in sacks this year, reestablished his stock, jumped back into the top 100 prospects in America. He signed with Oregon. LaMarcus Bell was a max prep second team All-American as a junior. He had some injuries early in the year, which kept his stats down a little bit, but still a sensational running back, averaged more than 10 yards a carry, got a late offer from Oregon. Signed with Utah, feels comfortable there. Noah Tischendorf, the saga of LaMarcus Bell and Noah Tischendorf's recruitment, really interesting. I find it fascinating that if you go to 24/7, he's the only recruit I've ever seen who is a decommitment from a school who's not listed. I don't know why. That certainly fits Trent Bray's narrative. It's not the truth. You can find my article that said Noah Tischendorf was committed to Oregon State. Again, 24/7 does not list him as ever being committed to Oregon State, which is not accurate. But he's going to West Virginia. That's interesting to me. Cade Mitchell is my favorite quarterback in this class at a Mountainside. He's going to New Mexico. I know behind the scenes he was kind of hoping Oregon State would pull the trigger. I think there's a possibility that Oregon State goes the transfer portal route for a quarterback if they don't sign one in the late signing period. And the early buzz is they might bring in a pretty big name. I am really excited about this Coach Shepherd staff. I know you want to talk about in-state kids, but I kind of can't help but get back to everything I'm hearing about Coach Shepherd is really positive. And the fact that they're not getting a whole bunch of Oregon guys this year, I think the top 6 or 7 kids fit the value and the quality that they want to bring in Oregon State. And then rather than reach for guys 9, 10, 11, 12, which was frankly a Bray staple and even really guys 17, 18, 19, they went, let's stick to our board. Let's go to the transfer portal. Let's elevate the talent right away in this program and let's not reach and fill up scholarships unnecessarily. Man, I think this Coach Shepherd staff, I think they go bowling in the first 2 years. I really do.
I really like the Mountainside kid. I saw him play in person. I'm kind of bummed he's not going to stay local, but I'm sure he'll do fine at New Mexico. Are you not going to give us the name? Like, you're kind of hinting at a quarterback. You don't know name?
Name names. Come on, man.
Oh, Cade Mitchell? Did I not say his name?
No, you were hinting that the staff's going to go portal for quarterback.
Oh, I'm sorry. Yeah, Cade Mitchell signs with New Mexico. Sam Vidal is headed to Washington. He was a first-team All-State kid out of Lake Oswego at both linebacker and tight end the last 2 years.
Right, but
he wants to know the transfer portal
name.
Name.
What's the
transfer portal quarterback?
What are we doing?
Come on, Nimick. What are they getting?
Oh,
Dante Moore going to be in Corvallis next year? What are you telling me right now?
I would keep an eye on Austin Mack at Alabama. I don't know anything.
We rolling tide?
But I do think if Ty Simpson comes back, there's a possibility that Austin Mack doesn't want to wait around. And he obviously has some familiarity with Mitch Dolan, who was the quarterback coach there, and Coach Shepard, who was the co-offensive coordinator there. It makes a lot of sense in Oregon State. I would imagine promised him that they'd give him some funds in terms of NIL to go after a big name so that you can solve some key positions. Wouldn't shock me if I'm not reporting anything in terms of I think it's a done deal. Ty Simpson has to stay. There has to be a whole lot of things that happen first. But I do think that's a name to watch because obviously that staff has familiarity with him. He's a good quarterback, a big-time quarterback. And if he needs a landing spot, man, you could do a lot worse than Oregon State. You really could. I think this staff's going to do a good job.
How about that one? Everybody getting excited and happy on National Signing Day. That's a great hit right there. Andrew Nimick, our recruiting insider here on The Fan. Check out his podcast that he does with Sook, the West Coast Bias Podcast. Give him a follow on Twitter for latest updates, at Andrew Nimick. Always enjoy the time. I'm sure it'll be a busy day for you, so thanks for hopping on, and let's do it again soon.
Yeah, I'm going back to bed.
Yeah, okay. Bye. Good night. Andrew Nimick. Awesome. You want a 6'6", 230-pound redshirt freshman quarterback coming to run your offense next year?
I'd afraid
he's a big deal. I followed him closely because he was a Washington commit initially with DeBoer.
And then followed DeBoer.
Followed
to
DeBoer to Bama. Yeah. And then he was in the mix to, you know, try for the job, but that was always going to go to Simpson last year. And so does he want a little playing time right away? You got the staff coming out.
Do you want the backup Alabama quarterback who's a young player more so than list his physical listings? Because our current quarterback, we paid $1 million to, physical listing is the same thing.
That is very true.
Stay away from the size part of that and more like the player profile, where he's coming from.
You got it, boss.
Thank you.
You got it, boss.
Also, Ty Simpson can still play next year?
Yeah, he can.
But this was his...
No. I think he's a senior, but he's a redshirt junior. That makes sense?
Oh, gotcha.
He's been on campus for 4 years, but he redshirted a year. Any whoosies.
Gotcha.
You know what you better do? You better watch out, because Bad Santa's coming to town.
Oh.
Today's Daily Ticker is brought to you by Pelican Brewing Company, celebrating the season with Bad Santa, Cascadia, and Dark Ale. Let's recap a little bit of what was said there. I'm going to dive into some NFL nuggies coming up in about 15 minutes, and then Lucy Burge, top of the hour, back after this on The Fam.
To remind you that 60% of sales on Amazon come from independent sellers, here's John from Devil Dog Pet Company.
We run our family business from Sterling Heights, Michigan, but we can reach customers all over the country thanks to Amazon. Good boy.
Shop small business on Amazon.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
Holiday PSA from DSW. This is your reminder that shoes are a gift. Literally. So unwrap something good. Like boots that inspire your next big adventure. Or cozy slippers that give you an excuse to stay in. Or sneakers that feel like pure joy. Because shoes aren't just shoes. They're exactly what you wanted. Let us surprise you so you can surprise them. Find shoes that get you and everyone on your list at prices that get your budget at DSW stores or DSW.com.
You've built a killer sports podcast. You bring the heat every week, and you have a loyal audience. But when it comes to monetizing, you're still leaving too much on the table. That's where the Odyssey Creator Lab comes in. We host your show for free. No fees, no catch. You focus on delivering the play-by-play and hot takes, and our experienced sales team goes to work bringing in ad dollars. Let's turn those downloads into revenue. Apply now at creators.odyssey.com and start making money from your podcast.
Hey there, we're Corinne Vienne and Sabrina Deanna Roga here to introduce our newest podcast, Crimes Of, a Crime House original.
Crimes Of is a weekly series that explores a new theme each season, from crimes of the paranormal, unsolved murders, and more. Our first season is Crimes of Infamy, the true crime stories behind Hollywood's most iconic horror villains.
Listen to and follow Crimes Of, available now wherever you get your podcasts.
Hey, welcome back in. Not often we do a recruiting hit, and it's good news for everybody involved, but things have gotten so bleak the last handful of years at Oregon State from a recruiting standpoint that anything they did was going to be good news. But a guy who seemingly gets it, Nimick, singing the praises of Jamarcus Shepherd and the job he's already done, flipping one prospect from the Alabama area and bringing him out here, and then maybe his approach to bring in a transfer portal quarterback potentially from Alabama and get other guys to plug and play. I think that's awesome news for Oregon State fans. I also love this. Somebody texted this in. Where did this go? At 503-864-6326. Said, I've been a Duck fan for 40 years. Sometimes I have to take a step back and pinch myself. Nimick calling the Ducks a usual suspect in top five of recruiting. It's just now expected. I know, I get it, but damn, I remember when I could only listen to Duck games on the radio, which I love that. That one made me laugh.
I hope we win seven games,
man,
this year.
If we go to the Holiday Bowl, I'll never forget driving around. Recruiting has always been fascinating to me. And then you go to a school and you follow it. And, you know, being in college when DeAnthony Thomas signed, I remember being such a big deal. That was huge. And then I'll never forget driving around and listening, ironically, to this very radio station. 1080 AM, depending on which one you're listening to, during the announcement of Cam Colvin, who was such a big deal when he was like a five-star wide receiver. I think he was from the state of Michigan, but I can't remember off the top of my head. Mm-hmm. But they aired his commitment live on the air on 1080 AM, and that was such a big deal. And so I've been intrigued by this stuff for a long time, and I'm also one of those fans of, like, Oregon having more five-star recruits than any other program in the country is not... I hope it's a new normal, but it's also still not quite normal to me. And every time I see that graphic, it makes me go, God, we're very fortunate to be in this moment.
I mean, you know, some people would tell you need blue to be the blue blood of a sport. And I know it's kind of a raging debate, is you get a lot of people that say you need a title. Right. And whether you want to count the voted for titles or the BCS title.
It's a Wolf Championship for you last year, buddy.
Well, there you go. Wolf Championship. However you want to define it. My opinion is just like in the last 15 to 20 years of a sport, can you tell the story of the sport without fill in the blank team? That's my definition of a blue blood. Hmm. Now, there's the all time blue blood stuff and like the start of the sport. I would put Oregon in a category. Okay. Now, a lot of you probably disagree with that and hate me and say, well, win a title, Sprague, and then put him in. Okay, that's fine. But if you're putting him in that category, this is part of that, right? Like, you guys are routinely going to be in the playoff. Routinely, you're in the running to win the Big Ten. This was your kind of your rebuild up year where we still expected them to make the playoff at maybe 10-2. They went 11-1. And they're a possession away from tying a game against Indiana in a game that Indiana kind of dominated and somehow still only a one-score game. So, I hear everything listeners say about listening to it on the radio at one point and what it is now. And like, yeah, dude, like I still see it and I'm like, that's crazy. But
pinch yourself.
This is what this program is built to. So to see it and to hear it is crazy, but also kind of used to it. Mario elevated it to a level nobody could expect. And then Dan Lanning took that and was like, watch this. I might get the number one class. And he's probably not going to overtake USC because of the sheer amount of recruits. But as Nimick pointed out, as you've highlighted all the time, like when you do the talent composite, Oregon's got better players. So it's not always about depth. It's about the quality. And it's no different this year than it has been the last couple.
Yeah, just to get to the place, too, where you trust their evaluation. You see all the young guys that are having an impact. How many true freshmen have had big roles for Oregon this year? And then you're bringing in another flock of guys next year to add to that. It's just very exciting. Also, I will say exciting for West Coast football fans because I do think there's been a bit of a... You want everybody to have a chance at this, right? I just think it's more entertaining on the West Coast when USC and Washington or Oregon are all orchestrating at a higher level. USC has the number one class in the country. It is mainly over volume, but still an incredibly impressive class for USC.
They needed it, though.
They desperately needed it. They needed bodies. They're trying, as Nimmick pointed out, get some of the riffraff off their roster.
Yeah.
They have 35 commitments. Oregon is barely over 20, so that's a big difference there. But still, impressive class for USC to be number one. Washington is hovering around 13th or 14th, too.
Right.
So they got a top 15 class
that's
right now.
That's a great
so
recruiting season.
It's a good sign for the West Coast of, like, I want those games to be important and to matter and all that. So, recap on signing day. Let's dive back into a couple NFL nuggets going into the weekend. Lucy Burge, top of the hour, back after this on The Fam. All right, we'll talk to Lucy Burge coming up top of the hour. Statter story in the final hour as well. Happy hump day, everybody. Keep you up to date on anything else going on in the signing day world. How about right now, if you text the word Matt, M-A-T-T, to 503-864-6326, you'll be entered for a chance to win a pair of tickets to see Matt Rife on October 10th, 2026 at the Moda Center. Head on over to 1051thefan.com for complete details. Again, text Matt, M-A-T-T, to 503-864-6326.
Hump day!
Very excited about the NFL slate this weekend, starting on Thursday, to be honest with you. Nice little juicy Thursday night game, wrapping up with Herbert and his broken hand on Monday night against the Eagles. I saw this floating around yesterday, and I was blown away by it, of how important this weekend is going to be in the NFL. There are seven teams this weekend whose playoff chances will swing by at least 25% with a win or a loss this weekend.
Yeah, dude.
And a number of them are playing each other. So just to throw a couple at you, the Steelers, if they win, 65% chance to make the playoffs.
Yep.
If they lose, 18%.
Yeah.
Ravens 76 with a win, 31 with a loss.
And the Ravens are still, I think, pretty overwhelming favorites to win the division.
They are, which...
They were minus money when they were even like four games below 500.
I don't know how I feel. They have not looked very good, to say the least.
No, but if they get the first win in the first of the two games over the Steelers, then...
I know. Look, they got smoked by Cincinnati. They were lucky, but they struggled with the Jets at home. Like, it has not been pretty for Baltimore.
If they stumble their way to winning the division, which it's, you know, by the way, I don't know if it's been confirmed, but they instantly put out a story after Burrow and the Bengals beat the Ravens that he was out for the Patriot game. Now, I don't know if that's the case, but I saw a report the next day, and it was like, Burrow will not play against the Patriots. Now, that was, again, like 5-6 days ago. Maybe they've changed their tune. So if the Bengals are out of this, and it's down to just those two teams, even if the Ravens stumble their way to the division, are you picking either of these teams to win a playoff game?
No. The Ravens have shown me nothing, even when healthy at the start of the year. Like the
That's not true. The Buffalo game, they came out the gate looking pretty good. They choked that game away.
They choked it away.
Yeah, but that was still a team that if they play at that level, they can beat a lot of these teams.
What do you play the game to do? To win the game.
Okay, but the
you giving
level...
me a quality loss in the NFL right now? You giving me a quality loss on a resume right now?
I'm saying
I think you have a resume.
If they look like that, they're going to win most of these games to finish the season.
You're not wrong. That was also a very long time
ago. It was a
very long time ago. Speaking of Thursday night, by the way, so we get Lions and Cowboys on Thursday night.
That's an elimination game, according to one Brandon Sprague.
57% chance to make the playoffs for a win for Detroit.
Correct, Amundo.
If they lose, 23% chance to make the playoffs.
Yep.
How about them Cowboys? If they beat the Lions on Thursday night, they now have a 35% chance to make the playoffs. So not still under 50-50, but 35, not bad.
And they'll only be, I think,
Depends on what Philly does.
If Philly loses, they go to 8-5.
If Philly loses, they're 8-5,
And Dallas is 7-5-1.
And a head-to-head win.
Half game, thank you.
If they lose, though, to the Lions, only an 8% chance for Dallas to make the playoffs.
This is an elimination game.
It's a fun weekend with a lot on, and a handful of these teams, like Texans and Chiefs in there, and everything on the line for them. I mentioned Lions and Cowboys. Well, a lot of these teams are playing each other this weekend, so big, big one in the NFL this weekend.
I certainly understand the Texans are not a fun watch. That offense has sucked for two straight years. I will say, Kansas City falling to 6-7. While also the Texans winning, what would that be, four straight?
I believe it'd be four in a row.
Going 8-5. I mean, we talk a lot about the Broncos. Bo Nix, the defense.
Very similar teams. Dominant defensively, offense that makes you go, it's not bad, but
Houston's
not good,
defense
but not...
is the best in the NFL. Yeah,
it's legitimately one of the best.
So Houston would be a team that, like, I don't know how they win that game, but if they do win the game in Kansas City, they put the Chiefs sub 500, and they would have won four games in a row on the heels of the division.
that's suddenly not a fun team to want to play.
Look out loud on the line if you're a fan of one of those teams this weekend. Big NFL playoff deciding weekend around the league. Lots to get to in the final hour. Status story coming up at 9:15. We will start, though, with Lucy Burge, friend of the program. What are her thoughts on criticizing Christmas trees? What bets does she like this weekend? Lucy Burge joins us to kick out the final hour live on YouTube as well. Next on 105.1 FM, The Fam.
In communities across the country, hourly Amazon employees earn an average of over $23 an hour, with opportunities to grow their career and their paycheck. Learn more at aboutamazon.com.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
You've built a killer sports podcast. You bring the heat every week, and you have a loyal audience. But when it comes to monetizing, you're still leaving too much on the table. That's where the Odyssey Creator Lab comes in. We host your show for free. No fees, no catch. You focus on delivering the play-by-play and hot takes, and our experienced sales team goes to work bringing in ad dollars. Let's turn those downloads into revenue. Apply now at creators.odyssey.com and start making money from your podcast.
My new podcast, Crimes Of, explores the forces behind some of the most unforgettable crimes in history. Listen to and follow Crimes Of, available now wherever you get your podcasts.
Welcome to Radio Rental. The scariest stories you've ever heard in your life. All told by real people. And off we go.
This wasn't a human being that I saw. There's something here in this house, something not of this world.
There was a woman moving through the hall. I stepped back and I was completely alone.
Radio Rental is available now. Listen for free on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts.